Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1420, air date April 7th, 2024.
All right. Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Shiva Idure. We're going to be doing a conversation with Michelle Stone, who's going to be interviewing me on really what is truth, freedom, health. That's what we're going to be talking about. And let me just start with one of our quick intros as we start this conversation with Michelle. So it is Sunday. We're going to be having a conversation with Michelle Stone about what is truth, freedom, health, really the structure of it. So let me bring in Michelle. She'll be right here. Michelle, are you there?
I'm here. Hi.
Okay, good. Let me just make sure our audience can hear you also. Everyone on my stream here, can you hear Michelle? I think we should really hear her. Yep. All right, Michelle, let's go.
Hi. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Shiva, for coming on Structure. So as Dr. Shiva said, I'm Michelle Stone. I go by The Ancient Ninja. You can find all of my projects, everything I'm working on at theancientninja.com. This is the first time that I've gone live on this platform, and I wanted to do it the first time with this guest because I wanted you guys to see what real looks like in real time. So, enough about me. If my guest wants to go and introduce himself and tell everyone about you.
Sure. My name is Dr. Shiva Idure. I'm a PhD out of MIT, but my two important things that people need to recognize that my life has been spent on understanding the nature of all systems in the universe, be your body as a system, political systems, any system. And as a part of that, my interest in that grew up in really wanting to understand political systems, even as a four-year-old kid, having grown up in the caste system of India, but also medical systems, having watched my grandmother who practiced an ancient system of medicine, which led me to MIT. In fact, before I came to MIT, I created the world's first email system, email, the system as we know today, while I was working at a small medical college in Rutgers Medical School before I came to MIT. And then I came to MIT, did a bunch of degrees, went in and out, started four different companies. And now our another system that we've created, an educational framework, an educational system, is Truth, Freedom, Health, which educates people. We have an institute that we have what's called a Warrior Scholar Program that anyone in the world can get involved, regardless of your training in engineering or otherwise. And people can really start understanding what is a system. And what do we need to do to advance systems, which comes through our consciousness by learning how to shatter what I call the swarm, which we'll talk about. But in our movement, it has these three components. One is to train people to be leaders as better or as good as any of the major leadership institutions, be it Harvard Business School or Stanford, but even much better than them because they train you to be part of the swarm. That's the Truth, Freedom, Health Leadership Institute. Independent of that, we know that there's a growing movement where people are recognizing big pharma and the medical system does not really serve people except for crisis care. It's excellent if you get your head blown off or something like that, but it doesn't really understand that the body is a system. So the Systems Health Educator Institute, we're training thousands of educators who actually understand the body as a system. And then finally, when it comes to science, the Cytosolve Open Science Institute, we're actually training people how to be citizen scientists using the Cytosol platform. And so if you look at my history, be it the first one to really expose COVID, quote unquote, the pandemic, offer solutions, expose the backdoor portal to Twitter, long before Tucker Carlson and all these guys came along and actually concealed it. So our movement is at the sphere of this as a tip here because our goal is to help people get off the plantation and not follow false gods. And it's really about enabling people to be their own gurus and their own leaders. Truth, Freedom, Health. So everyone go to truthfreedomhealth.com and get that education. Michelle, every Thursdays, it's really a long day. It's almost an 18, 19 hour day. Sometimes 20 hour, we do a open house at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. and everyone's invited. There's no cost, but you get to meet incredible people from all over the world who are at your point in life where they're really starting to wonder, how do I actually advance history versus wanting to be a part of it? So that's the background.
Well, thank you for all of that. And I want to go into many of it. And, you know, I kind of came across you about, I would say, a year ago. I've been pretty much in the same mindset that you are when it comes to politics, when it comes to the world. I mean, everything is designed to keep us down. It's to keep us ignorant, to keep us plugged into a societal mindset, which really takes us away from the spiritual aspect and of the system sciences aspect. And it certainly doesn't empower us. Before I kind of get into breaking down, because I really wanted to break down what you mean when you say truth, freedom, and health. And something that really drew me to you is obviously everyone that is in the political platform, they're all kind of playing these different roles and none of them are authentic. None of them are real. I mean, you have done interviews with so many different people. You host Open House and you're there all the time. Many politicians, in fact, I would say most of them would never, ever get on a platform where they have to be, you know, with someone that they can't control the agenda, control what the talking points are. And I really love the, what is it, cocksucker that you say?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very important terminology. You know, people expect an MIT PhD or people who are politicians to speak in very diplomatic words. And they use those words to essentially keep people on the plantation. You see, people of my educational background are supposed to serve the swarm. And you're supposed to speak a certain way. You're supposed to have a certain tone. Jimmy, you know, dumbass Dore, I think that's his name, did not want to have me on his show because he says I'm mean. Well, he has never had to suffer. You say he's never had to go through the journey, I or everyday working people, the other 8 billion of us. It's just theory to him. So these people have the luxury of not cursing at these people. It's actually a luxury to be diplomatic. So the term Zionist cocksucker, with a Z that I came up with, represents all those people, the pretty much every politician who essentially has to suck Zionist cock to advance themselves. And it's a fact, right? And you can look at them. Trump sucks Zionist cock. Booby Kennedy sucks Zionist cock. All of them do. Biden, every single one of them. And these people, they're not even leaders. They're like the house slave, you know, as Malcolm X talks about, who the master keeps to keep all the people leaving the plantation. So that's their job. And they have
and they're kind of more enslaved than we are in a
big time. Yeah.
They are more controlled, and it's since birth, from childhood. So that's why the term political correctness exists, because they are politically correct, which is inauthentic. And people think that being rich and being powerful like this, that you're more free, but you're actually more enslaved.
Yeah, they have golden,
they don't have the power like we do.
Yeah, they have golden handcuffs. So the reality is they're actually house slaves, and they're enslaved, and they have to keep us enslaved. You see, their entire existence is being enslaved, is being non-authentic, is being quote-unquote diplomatic. Everything that they say is manufactured. They have to stay in their lanes. Tulsi Gabbard, you watch her talk, she sounds like a fucking robot. And she has a shtick to act like she's against the military-industrial complex, but she was the one who was absolutely okay for us ongoing starting the first and second Iraq wars. She was okay to go and vaporize Gaza. You can just look at it. But they give her the shtick. Booby Kennedy has a shtick of being for medical freedom when the guy's a complete fucking moron. He's the one who said, I believe in full vaccination of all Americans. He comes from a family of criminals. His entire family.
Oh, absolutely. They own half the country.
Right. And they are all abusers of women on top of it. You see? And then you go to Trump. Yeah. Trump is just a fool. Okay. He wanted to be an actor all his life. He wanted to be a producer. And he was put on the trajectory by Wilbur Ross and the Rothschilds, literally. And they gave him everything he needed to put him on that trajectory. So all of these guys have been, they're enslaved. They're part of the swarm. And if you look at Trump specifically, it's fascinating that the MAGA idiots consider him anti-establishment. And you just have to step back. Everything he's done his entire life has been for the establishment, by the establishment, and he serves the establishment. So our
there's a reason these people, you can do, I like to tell people, if you can do an impersonation of someone, it's because they're leading on a character. That's why it's so easy to impersonate them and make these characters. Dr. Shiva, I absolutely love your Shatter the Swarm aspect, and I agree. I want to kind of shift it because I don't want to give them the spotlight. I don't know if anyone knows while they're watching this, but Dr. Shiva is running for president. So, you know, I want to ask, because you do talk about the timing of things, and it's certainly so important to understand the timing of things in terms of the conscious collective and how ready we are to perceive that information. Why are you choosing to run for president now? And kind of what's your reason behind it?
Yeah, so first of all, let's talk about it this way, Michelle. One of the things that we educate everyone at Truth Freedom Health is that people go in these different paths in life. So they may take some action in life, or they may be inactive. Regardless, they have some experience out of their action or their lack of action. And the experience, maybe they come to a fork in life where they have to ask, do you want to change the world? Or do you accept it the way it is? That's the first question. Many people do that unconsciously or implicitly. Other people do it explicitly. I did it explicitly as a four-year-old kid because I was exposed to this horrible thing called the caste system. Okay? And so as a part of that, the journey begins. If you want to change the system, some people don't. They like it the way it is. That's fine. That's one set of people, probably about 30%. The other people, they decide they want to change the way things are. They are right now, those in power essentially give people two options, and it's called the legalist approach or the electoral approach. The legalist approach is, in order to change the system, become a lawyer, file lawsuits, that kind of thing. You file lawsuits. The other thing is they give you the electoral opportunity, run for office, go talk to your congressman, right, et cetera. So they give people these two opportunities. When both of those action steps are controlled by the swarm, they are fully owned. It is their battleground. Now, the question is, do you not do those things? Well, the reality is there is, when you look back at history, when you look at the electoral process or the legalist process, none of those things have ever fundamentally changed the world without the most important foundational ingredient, which is a movement. It has always been movements that have changed the world, movements. And what is a movement? Every Tom, Dick, and Harry now use the word movement. A movement is a political process of people coming bottoms up, asserting their rights, doing things that may not have initially been allowed even within the constitutional framework, okay? For example, doing a protest, right? Doing a, you know, those processes, but you're mobilizing people bottoms up.
Now, those are also stage two in a sense.
That's what
we look back at people like, well, those are also stage two in a sense. When we look back at people, and this is going to be a hot take, but people like Martin Luther King Jr., that's a staged protester. There are times where these protest movements are staged by the system.
Right. So those are staged. There have been events in human history where the slaves rose up independent of the masters. And when that happened, those movements were made invisible, like our movement today, because, you know, I got off the plantation. And they do not want this face or people in our movement who are off the plantation getting any limelight. They will give me limelight to the extent that they think they can co-op me, which is not happened, unfortunately, for them. Right. So when you can run in an electoral process or you can do legalism, provided if you're serious, if you have a movement. So in 2020 or 2017, when I ran against Elizabeth Warren, we had a movement. It was the emergence of the Truth Freedom Health movement. In 2020, our movement grew. In Massachusetts, we had close to 3,000 volunteers on the ground. But we were always telling people up front, we know that they cheat. We know that they lie. So we did not want to mislead people. However, we said by our running, we're using the occasion of an election to bring up fundamental issues, because the mindset of the masses has been manipulated by the mainstream media to talk about elections, elections, elections. So what happened when we ran in 2020 for Senate? It was our movement that exposed, we won the election, They cheated it from us. And we were the ones who exposed the fact that the machines have a weighted race algorithm. Well, no one else exposed that. We did. An MIT guy who's not supposed to run for office, right? But I did. And then we exposed the fact that the government has a backdoor portal into Twitter. That was our movement. We filed a very important landmark lawsuit where the judge tried to buy me out. My lawyer tried to buy me out. Tucker Carlson concealed that lawsuit. Glenn Greenwald concealed it. Because why? We were independent, Michelle. They don't want to give limelight when independent people discover things. They even want to suppress the truth unless they can co-opt the truth. You see? So, but because we had a movement, because we were bottoms up, and we used the platform of running for office, our movement exposed all of this stuff. In 2020, we ran the Fire Fauci campaign. So think about the things we did in 2020. We hit Fauci first. We were the ones who told Trump, don't do the lockdown. We were the ones, I was the one as a scientist who gave the vitamin D3 protocol, quercetin and zinc, which Zelenko stole and bottled up. I gave it away for free. We saved 100 million people's lives. We exposed the fact that the government and social media companies are one, which they waited 4 years. And you see, what you find, Michelle, is that it's very important to tell the truth. It's not telling the truth. Any Tom Canary now tells the truth. Telling the truth is only one part of the three-legged stool. The other part is, when did you tell the truth? And did you tell the truth to the right people to mobilize them? And that's what we've consistently done. So my running for president, to answer your question, is escalating this movement. Because now we're global. We have close to 500,000 people, you know, who are part of our movement. We have 500,000,000 people who know about us in spite of their shadow banning. So this is a serious problem for them. But our movement now is exposing more things. Well, the first thing is we filed one of the most, you know, historic lawsuits, which is exposing the fact that most people don't know the Constitution. I, as a naturalized citizen, are equal to a natural born citizen, which was never defined. So we are challenging that. But if we
that's such a terrible topic to touch on with people, because the country's being ran by foreigners regardless. So for people to really, you know, harp on you not being born here, I think is kind of a ridiculous perspective, because the country's being ran by people from other countries. I mean,
it's being run by people from other countries, who the issue is that the people who are quote unquote. By the way, natural born is never defined. I did come out of my mother's womb. I wasn't born by a werewolf, right? I wasn't in vitro fertilized. I wasn't cesarean, right? I'm not a robot whose genes. I am naturally born, okay? Which is, by the way, never defined. But separate from that, even the people who were, quote unquote, naturally born, all the politicians in Congress all suck Zionist cock. They all serve Israel. So they, and the reason the founders, one theory was, in the original Constitution, when it first started, they wanted to make sure a prince, you know, of England wouldn't become a naturalized citizen and take over the country. But we're way beyond that at this point. So, but the historic lawsuit I filed exposes the fact that you must protect the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution. History has moved forward. The founders wanted bottoms-up movements. In fact, in the March 4, 2024 ruling, the Supreme Court ruled 9-0 that the states cannot disqualify any candidate for president based on constitutional provisions, including Trump, who they asserted had attempted to run an insurrection. So the point is, that's one important thing. The other thing is, we escalated our lawsuit from 2021 to go right after CISA, which is the organization that Trump signed off, which is the one that created the surveillance state on social media. And beyond that, everywhere we go to try to collect signatures to get on the, by the way, Kennedy has only got on the ballot in one state, Utah. We've gotten signatures to get on the ballot in two states by actually collecting signatures. This fucker doesn't even have volunteers to collect signatures. He collects 20 million from AIPAC supported institutions, Zionist cocksuckers.
Well, he essentially doesn't need it, right? Because he's a Kennedy. And I want to take back what you said when you mentioned suffering. We can tell right now how the biblical PSYOP has such a control on society, with what's happening with Israel and all of that kind of stuff. You mentioned how suffering is such a big part of growing. And I think that's where people need to understand. That's where the Christ pattern kind of comes in. I call it Christ pattern because of Edgar Cayce. He talked a lot about this in his channelings. The suffering aspect is what builds you and makes you into someone that's capable of being a leader. So when we see a lot of these people that really haven't had any suffering, they're the ones, you know, causing the suffering. The suffering is a part of the aspect of how you grow. It's how you awaken and how you continue to awaken other people. And that's where the Christ pattern comes in. And when it comes to truth, you kind of mentioned like truth, you have to kind of lay it on them at the right time. Timing is everything. But truth also kind of lives in this cube because there's so many different perspectives when it comes to truth. And so someone's truth could not be another person's truth. And it gets really convoluted. So I want to talk to you about what you mean by that and kind of let people hear you break that down. And I'm going all over the place because you're touching so many things that I want to talk about. And you talked about the political parties, how they're all one. Well, that's why the war elephant and the Messiah's donkey, they're represented by those symbols, because when you do the tracing of the origins of the political parties, they actually all come from one point. So they are one party, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, look, the issue is when you look out at the, you know, everyone is born into this world at some point, right? It's called your birthday, right? And when you're born, you're not responsible for what this world was. You're born into it as a, you know, as an innocent soul. And then you come to a certain point in life where you look at what's going on and you may hit the birth lottery, like the swarm, and you don't never have to suffer for anything, right? And other people have to go through this journey. And when they look out at the world, someone who's truly interested in understanding this world starts asking questions. Oh, an apple falls from the tree. How does that happen, right? The clouds are moving. How does that happen, right? I see this bright object called the sunrise. So you start asking these very important questions, and the answers to those aren't actually intuitive, right? You have to sometimes do some very non-intuitive things to understand these things. And that's the process called the scientific method. And the scientific method basically goes like this. You see this bright object come from this one part that you call east and go to the west. And you say, well, how does that happen? Well, you may think it's a fire-breathing dragon doing this, right? Someone may think it's a big spaceship flying in the air. Someone may think it's something called the sun, and we're rotating around it, right? You may have all these ideas. These are called hypotheses. So the scientific method, which all of the great rishis, all of the great masters supported, they were rational, they were into common sense and using your brains, because God did give you a brain, and you were supposed to use it. And in the scientific method, you threw out an hypothesis of why you thought this phenomenon occurred. And then you have to, again, use your labor, and you have to run something called experiments. You know, you tried this, you tried that. And if the data from those experiments matched the model of why you thought that event occurred, then you could say that was some truth you've uncovered. In science, this was called the law, capital L-O-W, right? And now, even the scientific method recognized that that law, a truth that's some point, would have to go for the refinement, okay? And then you may find some nuance where that law doesn't fit in, and you have to refine that truth. So truth is this infinite process of refinement. It's not like everyone has their own truth. There are fundamental truths, but they may undergo refinement. So for example, the law of gravity and or the law of motion, which is what Newton came to understand in the 1600s. In fact, others had understood it before that. But anyway, nonetheless, if you want to give Newton, put his name on it, Newtonian mechanics, it was not for 400 years later, he had not considered when objects move the speed of light. So that opened up a whole new set of refinements. It's not like Newton was wrong. He was right under the certain conditions. And then you had the general theory of relativity. So, and so on. So the reality is that you have to apply the scientific method, and then through that process, you refine it. So truth for me is actually a verb. It should really not be a noun, but it's a verb. And it's probably infinite. You know, when I teach, or when you talk to anyone who is a master and adept at something, they'll keep telling you that the more they teach, the more they don't know, and they're constantly refining what they actually believe the understanding of something was. So you're going through this very, very infinite process of refinement. And in each step, you're uncovering more and more subtleties, more and more details. It's not to say any one of those truths that you uncovered was wrong, but you refine it. So truth to me is a process. It's no different than a rock that you see with all these different edges, and over time it gets much, much more refined. And you can see that in people. People from, you know, hopefully go through a refinement process. They get more refined in how they articulate what they say, hone it down. So Zionist cocksucker, for example, is a truth, right? Getting off the plantation is a truth. Shatter the swarm. These simple things are truths. But it took me 50 years to be able to draw, if anyone goes to shatterthesworn.com, that video didn't happen overnight. It took me 50 years to get on that thing with that blue ink and do it in one take, okay? But it was something that was being created, congealed over time. So truth is, now truth cannot exist. So truth is a conversion process. There are three processes, this is a truth, by the way, there are three processes in the universe. The process of conversion, the process of motion, transport of things, and the vessel that holds the conversion process and the transport. Transport, conversion, storage. So again, if people go to truthfromhealth.com, you can understand what I just shared with you is one part of what's called general systems theory, which comes out of thermodynamic theory. These three processes show up in ancient systems of Indian medicine and yoga. They were called Vata, Pitta, and Kapha, you see? Yes. And what I had uncovered was there's a bridge between engineering system science and these ancient systems of yoga and meditation and what you call spirituality. Unfortunately, this had been made to be a woo-woo area, and the woo-woo people actually have done a great disservice because they don't understand how to articulate it. And so what I uncovered was the nine principles that come out of engineering systems theory, which can explain this. So a really, really deep science of everything, which also, in my view, what I've uncovered is sort of the framework to understand all systems in the universe. And so that, well, to me is a truth.
Yeah, I really like how you break it down, saying truth is a process, you know, and you kind of touched on the heliocentric versus geocentric. And when we get into a lot of these great minds, there is some corruption when it comes to that, because, you know, you can't exactly believe everyone's findings. I mean, we see today that people are quite literally paid to lie. So when it comes to those certain aspects and ancient findings and the greatest minds of all time, like I have a video about Aristotle, how I'm not really a big fan of Aristotle, but he is, everyone loves talking about him and bringing out his points. So, you know, when you go back to some of those things, it also, there's a little bit of divine discernment in there that one has to have. And we've certainly lost that now. I mean, the ancient is coming back, the ancient ways, but a lot of people don't have their divine discernment because they rely too much on other people thinking for them. And so when it comes to breaking down that scientific method, there are, you know, universal laws. There's seven universal laws. We find that in the Corpus Hermetum that goes in and talks about that, the Kabbalion. So I like how you kind of put it in a sense that truth is a process, and it is. But how about, you know, so there's certain things we can break down, right? We can, like you said, we can take something, start from a seed and flower it, and it can turn into a flower. And that flower is the truth, what we're talking about. But when it comes to the truth of character, everyone has a different definition of how they define character. Like, for example, the people you talk about, Bobby Kennedy, all these people that are, you know, the swarm. People might think their character, they have high character, they're someone that's good, or they're someone this and that, because people don't have that divine discernment. So where does your process of truth come in when it's the individual's thinking of another, not just a simple item or process that you can do?
Well, look, there is a one word definition of character. It's called action. Action determines your character. Action. Booby fucking Kennedy openly says, my personal integrity is not equal to my public integrity. It's a schizo, okay? So he's saying you can do one thing in your personal life and another thing in your private life. If anyone who knows me, I'm saying the same person I'm today, how I behave in my personal life and how I behave outwardly is one common person, okay? There's no difference. And so action is character. So where does action come from? Well, if you understand, action is derived from a state of consciousness, and that action leads you to have an experience, and that experience moves your consciousness. So it's this constant process. Your action is reflected by your state of consciousness. So if you're a fucking scumbag like Bobby Kennedy is, look at his actions. He's married. he goes and bangs 20, 30 women and writes a diary about it. Okay? And his wife sees this diary and decides to hang herself. After she hangs herself, what does he do? He then fabricates this ceremony, a funeral, and Maureen Callanan has brought this out. And he brings all the PR people, and they, to the outer world, they bury her on the Kennedy gravesite for the Kennedys. And he's praying over it. All the pictures take it as though he really cared for this woman. After he buries her, they exhume her coffin and they move it to an unmarked gravesite. Okay? This is a fucking scumbag. Let me give you another example. So the action doesn't match his words. Look at his actions. Another action. He openly said, I believe in full vaccination of all Americans. In 2019, you know, I've been an activist all my life since I was 17 years old. I've run some of the biggest protest movements, actual movements, bottoms up, not controlled movements. So in 2019, we ran one of the biggest militant protests in New Jersey, where and I'm originally from Jersey, where we organized mothers to vociferously, militantly stop the bill that they were going to pass in the New Jersey legislature to promote vaccine mandates. Booby Kennedy comes around with his little SUVs, supposedly to do a demonstration. He doesn't bring any sound equipment. He wanted to do a quiet demonstration, having backroom meetings. We took all of our sound equipment and drove it down from Boston down there in a cold, very cold day. And we mobilized those people. He's a fucker because he wanted to negotiate with the Democrats and come out like some hero. You see? And then he openly tells people, I believe in full vaccination of all Americans. But he's going to do it by somehow working with the corrupt CDC, who he says are bad, and help them create safe vaccines. This guy has not only forked tongue, but multiple tongues. And you can keep going on. During the lockdowns, on March of 2020, he said, I believe in lockdowns. They're going to protect the climate. They're going to stop the expansion of COVID. Then he waits a year, steals all of my material exposing Fauci, and writes a book. You see, these people's actions do not match their deeds. But more importantly, their consciousness is revealed in their actions. Contradictory actions, speaking with forked tongue. And so their experiences of themselves as a scumbag. They know they are scumbags. They're very highly insecure people.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's generational evil too. You know, I actually had an experience with him where I met him in person.
That's a good term, generational evil.
Yeah, generational evil.
Let me just finish one point, Michelle. So you take a guy like Kennedy, you know, many years ago when I was out in Hollywood, right? I did a movie with him. And you could see, it was called Poisoning Paradise. One of my friends, Pierce Brosnan, and his wife, Keely Brosnan, produced it. But I learned enough about Hollywood, which it also attempted to co-opt me, and I left, okay? But the point here is, Booby was a heroin addict, okay? He got, you know, look at his whole life. He never even had to apply to Harvard. He boasts that he just put the word Kennedy on the application. When he gets into Harvard, a guy called Peter Kaplan, who was his roommate, did all of his homework. He's the one who wrote his senior thesis. The guy's a plagiarist. And Peter Kaplan wanted to bang some women, so Kennedy helped him bang some women. So this is how these guys work. No, seriously, it's not.
I know. And I've had experience with him in person, and I felt he's
evil. You look at him, and if you know how to read faces, and you have any sense of, he's pure evil. This guy's evil. He's deep state evil. John Kennedy's evil. He's the one who supported the CIA. He was absolutely fine continuing the bombing of Vietnam. But the Kennedys PR machine can make Charles Manson look like Jesus Christ. That's what they created. That's who they are. His brother, Ted Kennedy, is the one who murdered a woman here in Massachusetts, right down the street over here in Chappaquiddick. Okay? And then he got to be a senator. So the Kennedys are pure evil. Pure
evil. And Harvard's a bloodbath. I mean, Harvard's that's where pretty much all
of it is. Yeah, and the snake went there, right? You can trace every major catastrophe on the planet to some fucker at Harvard. So if there was one campaign promise I had, it would be that Harvard should be liquidated. All of his assets should be given back to the native people. Harvard talks about reparations. Give it back to the poor whites, the poor blacks, and the poor Native Americans. It's the deconstruction of Harvard will save humanity. And Oxford, by the way, in England. These are two horrible institutions. By the way, 40% of the people get into Harvard get there not because of any brains, but because whose ass they kissed and who and how much their parents gave to them. So that's the Booby Kennedy world. So when you ask about, you know, character, their character directly goes to action, which is moved by a very disgustingly evil state of consciousness, which perpetuates experiences that they have. And if you talk to these people, they're highly, highly insecure. They're highly inauthentic. That's why they cannot face me. So when I exposed Kennedy in 2020 in a series of 50 videos, he had to write a blog post to do it such a smear job saying that I run a vaccine company, that I'm friends with the Clintons, that I know Bill Gates. You can see the blog post. I sued him for $92 million. My own attorney, who was a Kennedy lover, threw the lawsuit. I had to get back involved. This is in Boston. So the point is, these people have everything rigged for them. They do not have to work at all. They can commit murders and they can get away, which is what his uncle did. By the way, his uncle is the one who saved Big Pharma by creating that, helping create the 1986 National Vaccine Injury Program. Okay. John Kennedy created the National 1962 Kennedy Vaccination Act. Booby Kennedy's the one who, Teddy Kennedy, who murdered a woman here in Massachusetts, is the one who protected all the big pharma companies. Now, Booby Kennedy's running around asking, saying he's for medical freedom. He's backed by a guy called Mark Waxel, who's from Big Pharma. And everywhere Booby Kennedy goes, doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. He was a heroin addict. They put him in to run an organization called Waterkeepers, okay, which was a ground bottoms-up organization, which he came and overtook. This guy's a complete fraud. And anyone who follows him, and a lot of women who want to suck his cock or something, they follow him. And they're living in Scarsdale, you know, drinking their little martinis, who all did fucked up things to their own children, and they have guilt, so they keep giving him money. So this is, it's essentially an incestuous set of evil people who promote these people. And Booby Kennedy literally sends his people, Michelle, to our Zoom and copies verbatim what I say and repeats it.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand that AI is ancient. There's actually a city of AI that's a biblical city. AI is an ancient mechanism, so it's not anything new. But now you have the computers that are watching us all the time that, you know, are taking the information we're having, and they're quite literally stealing stuff from people like you, people like me, people that are talking about these things, and they're putting them back to make it seem like they're real and they're authentic. In reality, it's just them copying stuff. You know, and I actually went to one of his events, and I found it very comical that he was selling signs for $40. I was like, you know, it's kind of funny, because isn't Kennedy rich and he's selling signs? So people have to look at those things when it comes to that asking for money on YouTube, like donate to the thing. And it's like, these people have tons of money. Your money is consent to them. It's consent that you're willing to keep doing and letting them run in these positions. So, you know, that's really why they're asking for money at the end of the day. But yeah.
Yeah, look, it's fascinating, because the average American has in their savings account around $400 for a rainy day. Booby Kennedy is part of a trust fund. He's got billions behind him. Trump has never, ever had to pay for any of his crimes. Have you noticed anytime he gets about, it's like a Worldwide Wrestling Federation thing. You know, everyone's supposedly pummeling him and they're beating him up, and suddenly he rises out of the ashes. He gets a $480 million judgment. Suddenly, 2 weeks later, Truth Social is going public and he's going to make $6 billion. None of these things are accidental. They are, literally worldwide wrestling that's done. But the key, but getting back to, you know, to sort of close this loop on truth is a process. And anyone who's committed to truth is going through this process of, you have to engage the world and take an action. That's your character. Out of that action, you're going to experience something. And the more bolder that action is, the more bolder your experience are going to be. Your soul gets refined through that process, and it raises your consciousness. Then with that elevated consciousness, you take even more bolder actions. And then you go through the process of more unique experiences. And this is an infinite process. This is why in the Truth Freedom Health Warrior Scholar Program, we teach people system science. But we tell people, you must go take an action. One of the actions is go get a bumper sticker and put this on the back windshield of your car. Now, if you've never done this, it's quite actually nervous for a lot of people. Wow, I'm going to take this thing off and I'm going to put it on my car. A lot of people get our bumper stickers and they'll leave it on their kitchen table. Because when you put a bumper sticker on a car, you're coming out. You're vulnerable now. people see your car. Maybe if they don't like that person, they'll throw an egg at it, right? Or your neighbor may say, ooh, how come you're being political? Let's not be political, right? Who is that guy? He calls someone a Zionist cocksucker. Now you have to defend your position. You see, by that simple action, you start creating an experience for yourself. When you have to go out and collect signatures, you create an experience for yourself. So our movement educates people, but it puts the mirror up to them and saying, are you willing to take an action? It may be simple as distributing a little flyer. Because when you do that, it is very different than being on this two-dimensional medium where you just talk all day and for views and clicks. You have to get out and engage the world. You have to poke the bear. And then you get back feedback. And from that feedback, you grow in consciousness. But your growth in consciousness is a direct function of your actions, which is a direct function of your experience. You see, so action, experience, and consciousness are related. These people do not take any bold actions. All of their actions are robotically controlled. Their consciousness is that of a robot or a slug, you know? And that's who these people are. Our movement forces people to take bold actions. Go collect signatures. Wow. Their movement, go hire people, pay them to go collect signatures. How is that raising anyone's consciousness?
Well, and to your point about this being a two-dimensional space, I mean, it kind of goes to the point of character. People can fake their character on these platforms. And often, you know, you mentioned how their consciousness is direct reflection. We have to look at their actions. Well, we have a certain archetype that's able to kind of escape out of that mechanism. And that's usually the religious archetype that we see, like the Mother Teresa's and all these people who are actually really terrible people, but they're able to justify it and fool people with their good actions, their donations to charity, all of these different things. And on these two-dimensional platforms, it's even more easy to do that. I mean, you now have people that are in the conspiracy world, which is just an overdose of information to kind of keep people confused, right? Because the word truth is such a hot, you know, word right now. I mean, that's why Vivek, I like how you call him the snake, Vivek the snake. He is using the word truth, or he was, as his campaign slogan.
He's a scumbag.
Because it is such a hot talking point to be.
Yeah, we didn't see him in 2020 telling any truth. We didn't see him in 2019. I didn't see him in 1984 when, you know, Gaza was being overrun by Ariel Sharon. I didn't see this scumbag anywhere. Same with Joe Rogan. Same with Alex Jones. Says enough truth, but never will expose Trump because he needs his followers. And to the extent he exposes Trump, he's watching which way his sales are going. And David Knight will tell you that. So these people are scumbags. They have economic interests. If truth is valuable for them at a certain time to sell something, they will. They don't have a history of it. People can look at my background. It goes back to when I was 4 years old. So to me, truth is not something you do that's fashionable. Telling the truth at the right time when it's not fashionable and telling it to mobilize people, that's real truth. So it's fascinating. We have to put the word real truth. We have to put the word real in front of truth now.
And so I like that.
Yeah.
I like that real truth, because there's a difference between truth and real truth. And Vivek is a Jesuit too. I mean, he went to Jesuit school.
Yeah. He's a fucking scumbag. He's a Brahmin.
Yeah.
Big pharma scumbag. I really wish that things occurred as in the old days when you grew up in New Jersey in the 70s, you know, how you dealt with people. Things would be much, much more, justice would be delivered to these people very, very quickly. Because these people could not go walking the streets of Newark or walking the streets of Lake Hiawatha or talking their nonsense. You know, they would be taken care of very, very quickly by other working people who wouldn't put up with their bullshit. So these people.
Well, now everything is kind of in an echo chamber. I like to say that mental illness has been encouraged and mental abilities have been condemned. People like to make mental illness a part of your character now, and everyone's so offended at everything. They don't want to hear offensive stuff. And it's created this echo chamber of inauthenticity, which is why people hear you talk this way and they're kind of a little like, oh my God, he said that. But in reality, the people that they're admiring are doing the same things, even worse, behind closed doors. So I like the term real truth, because it's not just truth, it's real truth. And what does real truth look like that? And so people need to kind of start applying that.
And real truth, it can only emerge. It's an emergent property. Real truth only emerges from actions and timing. So when people say something is actually important, is very, very important. And are they saying that truth to demobilize people and create learned helplessness? Are they saying that truth to inspire people to action at the right time? Academics, Fucker Carlson, a real fucker, Fucker Carlson. And that's the name you should use for him. Fucker Carlson waits 2-3 years later. He's CIA. The guy's a deep state motherfucker. That's what he is.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. He tells truth to, when it's convenient, puts on these grimacing faces. You want to just slap the shit out of this guy. Okay. He does that.
Well, he's good at keeping that eye contact, right? Like he's one of the best people at fooling because he's good at keeping that
who figures him out knows he's a fool. He's totally CIA. He comes from a CIA family. And his job is to create learned helplessness. So I tell the truth in 2020 when the election fraud's going on, we prove it. He conceals it for 2 years. And then we mobilize people to do something in nearly 3,000 towns all over the United States. We got people mobilized. That's telling the truth at the right time to take action. You see, action, that's character. Telling the truth to write a book after Fauci's caused all of his disaster and making money off the book is a real scumbag, booby fucking Kennedy. Trump, whining about draining the swamp, talking, brings in the swamp, devastates people with the swamp. That's a real scumbag. So all of these people are deep state scumbags. And anyone who follows them needs to recognize that they are still slaves on the plantation. And the people who want to get off the plantation need to look to people, leaders who got off the plantation. There will be leaders. There will be people like me and others. There will be leaders, but the leaders will come from among us, not from among them. So when you see someone like me absolutely shadow banned, absolutely censored, you must recognize you have a huge opportunity. This conversation, Michelle, should let people know that there are good independent journalists like yourself, you see? And that's who we go to. We don't want to support scumbags like Fucker Carlson. We must eviscerate them. We must viciously eviscerate them. And I give you another example. There's a bunch of these people who are suddenly medical freedom people. When I expose Kennedy, they attack me. Here's a litmus test if someone's for medical freedom or really for any of these things. Are they eviscerating the not so obvious establishment? Don't tell me you're for medical freedom and you don't eviscerate Booby Kennedy. Booby Kennedy, how can he be for children's health when he's absolutely fine with blowing up Gaza? So if you're for medical freedom and you just talk about medical freedom and you don't call out Booby fucking Kennedy, you're not for medical freedom because you want their followers to come to you and buy something from you. You have an economic interest in not exposing him. You have an economic interest in not exposing Trump. You have an economic interest in not exposing Biden. You have an economic interest in not exposing Sanders or Jill Stein. By the way, all of these people are Zionist cocksuckers. That's commonality among them.
Yeah, and they don't talk, you know, and one thing that it's not even just what they're saying might be truthful, it's what they're not saying. There's a lot of stuff that they don't talk about, which is mainly the spiritual aspect of things, which is a huge component that's kind of underneath all of this that none of these people ever talk about because they want to keep you so detached from that because truth at its core is a spiritual component. I mean, the spirit urges for truth. And at the end of the day, we see no matter what, it's like a float that we're holding down that's going to come back up. So all those things will come out, will be exposed, and these people aren't going to mention those sides of things. I mean, when you see someone like Fucker Carlson get up there and talk about what's going on, he's omitting so many things that they don't want to talk about because they don't even want people in this mindset. And I mean, they succeeded. A lot of society really doesn't even know themselves. They don't know the spiritual. So that's kind of why I wanted to break down the spiritual aspect of system sciences because I know everybody's kind of obsessed with science in that way, and you talk about it a lot, but there's a very spiritual underlining to all of that.
Well, look, the one second. I'm just going to close this over here. One second, because I'm getting some feedback. One second. The main thing here, Michelle, is the following, okay? There's no separation between science and quote unquote science and spirituality. This is an artificial separation. There's no separation between mind, body, and soul. It's information, energy, and matter, which moves through those three things, okay? So this artificial separation really began about in the 1600s when Isaac Newton discovered the laws of mechanics. That same day, the religious world became very, very antagonistic. So they created the division of science and religion. because Newton's view findings of the universe revealed that the world, the universe, may be a clockwork. Everything is predictable, right? You can predict the motion of an object forward in time as well as backward. This was problematic for the religious people of the time, because if the world is mechanistic, that means what's the reason for God? That means God just created a mechanical universe, and you as an individual are also part of this motion, that you don't really have any free will, right? So this was very disconcerting. It was not until in the 1950s that we uncovered that the universe is actually not a mechanistically ordered world, but it's actually always in a state of chaos. And that under certain conditions, the universe becomes a state of order, okay? Now, this is quite fascinating, because what this means is that an individual's thoughts, an individual's actions, an individual's energy can completely change a particular state of consciousness or state of anything in the universe. So this actually resolves this difference between this nonsensical division between science and spirituality. So now, in ancient systems of yoga and medicine, one of them was called Siddha, all practiced all over India for 10, 20, 30, 40,000 years, they had uncovered a systematic science to talk about this. Unfortunately, after colonialism, a lot of these concepts were diluted and they became very mechanically taught. Over here, starting in the 1920s, engineering science started to blossom. And the contribution that I've made, and I think it's a profound contribution, is I was able to find the missing link between engineering system science, which you would call, you know, modern science, and these ancient systems of yoga and medicine, which you would call spirituality. That missing link is what I uncovered. You know, in System and Revolution, in 108 pages, I put that together. Then we started creating a curricula, which I used to teach at MIT and all over the world. But the educational system is what I've uncovered, which is a missing link, the connective tissue between engineering system science and these ancient systems of yoga, meditation, spirituality. But the important thing is this is grounded. Anyone can understand this. It's not woo-woo language, where the problem with the woo-woo world is they speak in such a language that no one really fully appreciates it, you see? That they don't know what they're saying. In fact, the woo-woo people don't know it. So that's the important contribution that's been made. So when you look at Truth, Freedom, Health, Truth, Freedom, Health is not a slogan, right? It's not some vacuous slogan. It is saying that the process of conversion, truth, cannot occur with motion and the free movement of information, matter, and energy, which is freedom. And freedom, conversion, you know, or the pursuit of truth, the pursuit of freedom, cannot occur without a vessel, an infrastructure, a framework. In the physical case, it's your physical health. So this is quite profound. And these systems you can use to understand every system in the universe. So to me, it's been a long journey of connecting all this hardcore engineering system stuff with all the spirituality that I was able to experience and uncover, and bringing them together and finding that connective tissue. That connective tissue is what I call the Rosetta Stone of ancient systems of spirituality and modern engineering systems principles.
Yeah, and you know, there's the observer effect, which is kind of touches on exactly what you're talking about, that the observation, human observation of something changes the molecular structure of it. So just us paying attention to these things and talking about them and focusing on them is quite literally re-alchemizing our reality right before us, which is why it's so important that people focus on it. And I think the new age stuff, kind of like you said, the woo-woo, especially the astrology now, it gets me, because a lot of people don't even know about Vedic astrology. They don't know about the origin of astrology and what it's all about. And this new age is really meant to deter people from the actual reality of ancient things.
Right.
So it's had a lot of that going on.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a couple of nights ago, we had a talk, you know, every Fridays at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m., depending on the day, 7 p.m., you know, as a part of our Systems Health Institute, we're retraining Systems Health Educators. I spoke about this reality that the existing medical establishment knows people are breaking away from it. But the same medical establishment, Swarm, is now running the quote-unquote alternative medical world, the woo-woo world, like the Mark Hymans and the Deepak Chopras and the Andrew Wiles, right? These people started like health coaching institutes, where as people wanting to leave, they entrap them back. And all they're doing is vomiting stuff to them. Feng Shui, energy, Reiki, da-da-da. So these people are going to these quick programs. They don't really learn anything. And what's missing is this framework. And that is what we've created. You see, that framework you can use to understand political systems. You can use to understand your body as a system. You can use to understand a relationship, your pets, your animals, everything. And that framework is a vessel that helps people figure out of all these different morass of quote unquote solutions, what's the right solution for the right person at the right time? What's the right communication we need to do at the right time? So this is a much more active, you know, training, which really builds character, because you can't just say, oh, everyone take this vaccine. Oh, everyone do meditation now. Everyone, you know, go get this healing done. No, everyone is uniquely different. And at any point, you have to figure out the right solution for the right person at the right time. And that requires...
And it's such an influx of information. It's too much. You know, people can't focus on what is real and what's good for them because it's so much information being put on us at once.
Yeah.
So we broke down truth. So now I kind of want to break down freedom. So right now, people are kind of in this space where they're comfortable, and comfortability obviously is the biggest poison to us, which is why we are being made so comfortable, because life begins at the end of that comfort zone. I know it's like a cliche saying, but when you talk about freedom, explain to everybody what true freedom, we're going to put like the real in front of truth, and then what true freedom means, because right now people are really comfortable. They have their, you know, Amazon, they have everything they have, and they're not wanting to kind of step out and take the next step into empowering themselves. So can you explain how your freedom and the way you define it can really help actually free people from the plantation, as you put it, that they're in?
You know, I'm going to do it two ways, because I do want to obviously share with people that we have built a movement. Do you mind if I share a quick video here?
Go ahead.
Okay. I think what I have to do, Michelle, is on your StreamYard, I'm going to share my StreamYard screen, and I can play the video here. Your StreamYard, I'm going to stop sharing mine here. I'm going to share from you. I can share, I can present my screen, and I'm going to share my screen here. Okay, so you should be able to see my StreamYard. Do you see that? Okay, hold on. Oh, I think you have to, in your thing, you have to allow presentation. On the bottom. But when I present on your bottom of your StreamYard, you should see something that lets you share what I'm presenting right now. You see that? Oh, okay. Did you allow me to present? Let's see. You have to get, can you give me, okay. Yeah, so how about we do it the other way? The unfortunate thing is, I don't know if people will be able to hear the sound. You know what we could do? Yes, if you go to truthfreedomhealth.com, hold on one second, let me go here. I think I can share, if you go to truthfreedomhealth.com, yep. So scroll down. You see that video right there? The one on the bottom, get educated. Yep. So when you share that, make sure that the sound is on your StreamYard. You see on the tab? So when you share the screen, when you hit share screen to present, do you see there's a little thing on the right that says share sound on tab? Nope, I can't hear it because your sound is not being shared. So if you play that now, but when you selected the window, Michelle, go back. So I'll show you, go back. Since you're new to stream, just stop this. Yeah, you want to stop. So when you click on present screen, Is this in a Chrome tab? Okay, in the same Chrome tab that your StreamYard's running on? Right. Yeah. So there's your, So literally, share screen. Stop sharing this right now. Yeah, now hit share screen and there'll be something come up, will say Chrome tab. You see that? Yeah, but on the bottom, there'll be a thing called share audio. Okay, now select that Chrome tab. Okay, now play it. It should play. Yeah, for some reason, I'm not hearing it. Is your audience hearing it? Okay, so why don't you play it and I'll also play it here, okay? We'll do it together. All right. We'll tear it up. So I'm going to share it here. All right, here we go. We have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among... Well, I think while Michelle's playing it, we have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to... We have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that, and that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train an army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up, working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with as a part of this movement, we're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You've got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you, the Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people
back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own, quote-unquote, people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics. And I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms-up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhelp.com, so people can sign in. They can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhelp.com. All right, everyone, I hope that was valuable. So let me bring back Michelle in. But that video really lets you know that we have created an entire infrastructure, a movement, which involves education, knowledge, people. We do regular meetings every, Thursdays at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. And all of you are welcome to join. But we've created an entire community to support people's educational advancement. So that's why I wanted to play that video, because all of this would just be theory unless we actually had something that was tangible for people to actually use. So let me bring back Michelle here, and she should be coming back in. Let's see. Here she is. Here we go. Hopefully she's there. Let's see. I may have to restart StreamYard for her. Let me see here. Let me bring back her. I may have to call her because we're having some difficulty with her StreamYard. All right, we're doing a discussion with Michelle Stone, having a conversation. All right, let's see. Here we go. Okay, we're going to get her on my phone here so it'll work for her. Put that thing over here. Okay. Michelle, are you there?
Huh. I guess she's ended. Anyway, we will continue, and maybe Michelle will come there. Looks like she ended her program. All right. Well, it was a good meeting we were having with her. I think she had some technical issue. But anyway, this is Dr. Shiva Adurai. The conversation that I wanted to have today is, what is, you know, truth, freedom, health? What is truth, freedom, health? That was a conversation we wanted to have. And in this context, we've been discussing with Michelle Stone, what is truth? And what I shared here was that truth itself is not something that is, it's a process. Truth really should be viewed as a verb versus viewing it as a noun. Truth is a process that you're constantly refining and involves a process of taking actions, you have experience, and you raise your consciousness. This occurs in science all the time. And that's one piece. The other piece is, what is freedom? That's what she and I were about to talk on before we had the technical issue. But freedom is fundamentally the movement of information, matter, and energy. That's what freedom is. It's a transport phenomenon. It's a process of moving information, your thoughts. It's an aspect of moving energy freely, right? The ability to move energy, for example, the energy that we need that supports all life on a fundamental level, so you can have very powerful free economic systems versus someone hoarding energy. And then it's also the aspect of transporting or moving matter yourself. When the pandemic, quote unquote, the pandemic took place, a lot of people were locked down. And that's a, you know, ultimate example of the constraint of freedom. So freedom is, from a systems theory standpoint, is a movement of information, matter, and energy. And then finally, what is health? Well, health, if you think about health, is wealth. You can have all the money you want in the world. You can have many, many things. But if you don't have your physical health, you know, on a personal level, if a company does not, an organization does not have its economic health or infrastructure health, you have nothing. So it's really important to recognize that health is the vessel, the structural component which sustains the processes of freedom, as well as the aspect of truth to be uncovered. In general system science, we call that the conversion process, as well as a movement process, truth, freedom, health. And all of them are intimately related. You need truth to be able to think. You know, out of thinking, you discover truth. You know, out of fighting, you win freedom. And out of healing yourself in many, many different ways, you get health. Truth, freedom, health. Think, fight, and heal. So that's why our movement is so powerful, because it's founded on the uncovering of engineering system science, as well as ancient systems of yoga, medicine, and spirituality. It's one, it's this unification of knowledge. So I hope all of you get involved. I'm sure Michelle and I will do a follow-up interview, but that's what I wanted to share with all of you today, that Truth, Freedom, Health is a fundamental movement, and it exists. You don't have to waste your time trying to figure this out. We've organized that movement, and I hope all of you become a part of that movement. Anyway, be well.
We need to build a bottoms-up movement. Go to shivaforpresident.com and volunteer.